Welcome to The After Party, the weekly follow-up to sermons from Harbor of Hope Christian Church in Chelmsford, Massachusetts. We sit down every Sunday with the pastor who spoke and dive deeper into the topic from each week. Without further ado, join the party. Welcome back to another week of The After Party. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm here with this week's preacher, Amy Chaney.
Hey, guys.
This is our fourth or fifth try recording this. Yeah. Because we've had a lot of technical issues, and so we might be a little giggly, but I think we've been having a hard time because the enemy is at work, because Amy just gave such a great sermon today, and the Spirit was at work among our people. So it has made this experience extra hard to accomplish. So, Amy,
grace upon grace, people.
Absolutely.
Oh my gosh.
So, Amy, will you go into what you talked about today to bring all the listeners up to speed?
Sure. Yeah. This is our second week in Fightin' Words, and today's word was body. So we talked about how we are called to be building the body of Christ throughout our lives, throughout our relationships with one another. And we spend a lot of time actually looking at the Apostle Paul and how he writes to encourage and support and instruct these little baby churches in the region where Jesus once lived, and help them do a new thing. Like, they're doing something that never happened before. Like, now when we plant churches, we have churches to look at to see what that's supposed to look like, but they didn't have that. And so something that he compels them to do over and over again is to be building the body of Christ, which is the metaphor scripture gives us for what we're supposed to look like as a community that loves and follows Jesus. We're supposed to look like a body with a whole bunch of different parts that are supposed to work independently and together, and that sometimes attacks itself and that needs healing and needs to grow and flourish throughout their life. So we unpack that metaphor quite a bit and then talk about what it looks like to build the body of Christ by stepping into divisions between us. Not necessarily to jump to the other side. Like, that's something that happens slowly if it happens, but to kind of bravely step into spaces with people that we don't understand or like, or to purposefully spend time with people who haven't arrived yet.
Great. So when we are functioning as a body, as a community of believers, if there's one part of the body that is not in like cooperating or mm-hmm. perfectly aligned with the rest, you don't isolate it or get rid of it, you know, excluding the metaphor of amputation. But mm-hmm. it is part of recognizing that it is all part of one larger, greater body mm-hmm. that is part of the whole. Mm-hmm. I love that. That is so powerful and so important for our time when we're just so riddled with conflict and tension.
Yeah.
So thank you for bringing that message today.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It's important for us to remember that it's not all about us as a community at Harbor either. It's very mm-hmm. easy to come to church every week and think that this is like church. And mm-hmm. and it is. But it's only like a little sliver of the global, yeah. historic, eternal church. Mm. And that's cool. You know, like our little basement church is just a little piece of what God's doing right now. Mm. It's pretty neat. Mm-hmm.
I love being part of it.
Mm, me too.
Yeah. So have you had any experience with your own body when part of it is not working?
This question is so mean. Yes, I've had a recent experience with a very unimportant seeming part of my body going rogue. I just before Christmas, my daughter and I took her to get our nails done for like a mommy-daughter day, and it was cute, and lots of people liked the picture I posted on Instagram about it. It was precious.
It was.
But I wound up with an infection in the cuticle of my big toe. Ugh. Thanks to some unclean circumstances at this unnamed nail salon. And that's as far as I'm going to go in terms of the description of like what that situation looked like.
So we don't have to put an explicit tab on our podcast?
No. Yeah, if great. You care to know more details, then you are a curious person and you are welcome to ask. But it was so remarkably painful. I'm not sure how to best describe this, like, I've had children, I've had kidney stones, and the pain that I felt in my big toe was like that. Like, it was that bad. Gosh. I had a fever. That's so bad. I was like shaking. My whole body reacted to this, like, this thing that started in my big toe. I was like, God, okay, I'm writing the sermon. I was thinking about these things. I did not need such an explicit, like, illustration in my life. But thank you. But no thank you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm fine now. But it was pretty remarkable how this little toe that I take for granted literally all the time caused havoc on my body. Yeah.
Yeah. So it hurt you. Obviously, the toe itself hurt, but it took you out of the rest of function in your life.
It did for a couple of days. Yeah. Thankfully, I was on holiday vacation. So it wasn't like I couldn't sit on the couch all day, but I did. I did not do other things. And it was unpleasant, to say the least.
Wow.
So thanks for bringing my toe into this.
Anytime. Anytime. Even when a small part of your body is not working, it can affect the rest. And so it shows how important each and every little part of our body is in functioning. And that goes for individuals in our church as well as churches in the greater scheme of the capital C church and its functioning in the world. I think that's so important to remember.
Yeah.
You talked a lot about this relationship between stress and nourishment. Would you care to go into that at all?
Yeah. I actually did a lot of Googling in preparation for this. I Googled how to become a bodybuilder.
Great.
Like, quite a bit. And I came really close.
in tangent with your kickboxing?
I know. My search history is growing to be kind of a bizarre place. And
your advertisements are all for protein bars and gym memberships.
I think that I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I'm not that much of a gym rat. I guess, I don't know. But I'm a wannabe gym rat. I almost brought in this blog post that I found that was essentially like instructions in becoming a person that is like a competitive bodybuilder. And I think there's a youth group game in this for the future because I easily could have read that and been like, who said this? Like your trainer or Paul? Because the way that you prepare your body for building muscle in like an exponential way sounds a whole lot like what Paul tells the early church to do. Which it was like striking and bizarre. I wound up not really having time to do that in today's message. But there's this need to be both fed and actually put yourself through intentional tension, which lifting the weights and doing the push-ups and the pull-ups and things like that. But you need to be feeding your body things that actually perpetuate and propel this like growth of muscle. And so it was really interesting how similar like the literal physical processes with what we read in scripture. And I think it's cool that Paul repeats this phrase, like build the body, because building is a very like offensive verb. And I've been spending a lot of time in Paul's letters. It's kind of like where my mind is at in my scripture life. And that keeps popping up for me. It's pretty remarkable. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. I love that. Because building is offensive, and in order to build the body, you do need both.
Mm-hmm.
You need this offense and defense. You need the stress. You need to put stress on your body to build strength, but then that the nutrients in food and nourishment to replenish the work that was put in. So the stress and nourishment is such an important balance in the gym and in real life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what I love about it is that if you have too much of one or the other, it is not healthy. If you have too much strain, you'll pull muscles. And if you have too much nourishment, you'll just get fat or unhealthy or spiritually fat.
Yeah. And that, like, I'm going to pause on that moment, that thing for a second, that idea, because I have known people in my life that have done that, that they like come to church, and I know like professional church people who do this. But they come to church to be fed, which is exactly what you're supposed to do. Church is meant to feed you spiritually. But then if it ends there, you wind up spiritually bloated, like where you're just taking in all of this goodness that you get in worship and in prayer and in community with other people. But unless you're then turning around and intentionally exerting that energy that you're taking in, then you wind up sitting around like needing to unbutton your pants, like sure. like needing a stretchy waistband because you're spiritually bloated. You've got too much mm-hmm. kind of like inside of you that is actually designed to be then like re-exerted.
It becomes consumeristic and not yeah. participatory.
Yeah.
It sounds like, just the way you worded it, it reminded me of like you need an inhale and you need an exhale.
Yes.
And like going to church is the inhale.
Great. Yeah.
And then exhaling back into the world mm-hmm. and to build the body. And we're mixing metaphors a lot, but I think it all fits.
Kind of, except the beautiful thing about this metaphor of a body is that we've all got one. Like mm-hmm. there's nothing else that every single human being that's ever lived has in common, I don't think. But we all live in bodies.
Sure.
And
we haven't transcended our human form yet.
Right. We're working on it. but that kind of common experience makes this metaphor accessible to everybody. Like, so many metaphors throughout scripture are actually not accessible easily by people who live today. And
right.
that's part of like the job of doing that work and then being able to then like meet a community and present that mm-hmm. in a context that is understandable. But this metaphor, I don't need to explain it. Like, we all get what it feels like to be a body.
Right.
And so that is like grace. Like that's what Jesus leaves us with in scripture is gorgeous and mm-hmm. marvelous and proof that he's here for every single one of us for all time, because this is the only metaphor that doesn't expire, you know. Pretty cool.
Great. Now, without sounding too weird in this question, but you've had a lot of experience with bodies.
It absolutely sounds weird, Jeff.
I'm referring to your art. For the record.
I know. I do. I'm an artist by training. My undergrad is in art and painting and drawing and printmaking. And I have a master's degree in it too. And my undergrad work was painting bodies from the outside in kind of like a classical way. Like if you go through an art museum, artists really appreciate the human form and paint that. But then when I got to graduate school, I started painting the insides of bodies, which sounds very creepy, especially when I slow my voice down like that. But I became sort of infatuated with this idea that we are mysterious, that our bodies actually contain a lot of mystery, mm-hmm. that we're mystery mm-hmm. containers.
I like that.
That we're not actually designed to be able to see inside our body, and yet science has allowed us to. And so that, like, that's not good or bad. It's just significant. Like, it's interesting to think about what that does when we're able to see our inner workings that we're actually not designed to be able to see. That's supposed to be kind of like God's realm of, like, keeping all of this functioning.
Yeah.
And then being able to see it is like a... I don't know. It's like stepping outside of your lane to kind of get a glimpse of the marvelous God that's put you together and
right.
knit
there's,
you together.
There's so much more going on than we can even see.
Yeah.
And so much like crucial, important, hardworking stuff is going on that we don't even know about. And
yeah.
so if we think our own body, or the stuff that we are aware of or the stuff we see is the most important, mm-hmm. then we are
yeah.
just living in our own vantage point and our own ego.
Yeah. And some of that stuff is like not even just invisible to us, like covered up. It's mm-hmm. like literally invisible. Like neurons firing energy and electricity
yeah,
is
right.
like not something we can actually see. Mm. Like we can discover it, we can learn about it, but it's hidden and it's supposed to be. Like that's part of the design and it's pretty cool. So yeah, I painted a lot of like MRI scans and CAT scans and like medical imagery, but then kind of layered mm-hmm. what I believe mm-hmm. to be these like spiritual colors and lines and shapes to kind of indicate this mystery. And I don't know, not very many people or any people in art school really appreciated my like spiritual approach to this idea.
I appreciate it now.
Yeah.
And I hope our listeners appreciate it. Delayed value.
Thank you. You're on my people. I have found my people who appreciate me and my time. Yeah.
We are mystery containers, and we contain mystery. I like
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And that kind of relates to, you quoted Paul, or talked about some more of Paul's letters, mm-hmm. where he talked about we cover up things that are less important, and I'm paraphrasing, so mm-hmm. you might have to correct me, but there are parts of us that are important, our clothes and other stuff that is less important, we don't take care of as much.
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate on that?
Yeah.
In regards to a body and the collective body.
Yeah. I mean, this passage I've heard kind of unpacked in a lot of different ways. And today, the way we unpacked it today was really to say that if we think about our collective body as the church, we're an incomplete body. Like, mm-hmm. we actually have missing pieces because everyone hasn't found Jesus yet.
Right.
And we're on a mission. We're all on a mission to help every single human being on this planet find their way back to God. And we might not accomplish that in our own time, but we're going to try because we're equipped to. And God's given us what we need to do it, but it's not for the faint of heart, let's
sure.
just say.
Yeah.
So that the passage that talks about how, like, the least important parts, the things that seem like they're the least important parts of the body, like your big toe, are actually right. things that we need to pay close attention to. I mean, the big toe we take for granted, but it's actually, like, incredibly critical. And if you mm-hmm. don't have a big toe, you realize that really fast.
Yeah, it's what hard keeps to keep you, your balance.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. And so similarly, in, like, the body of Christ kind of idea, we've got to be paying close attention to the parts of our body that aren't quite there yet, the parts of our body that have never showed up, mm-hmm. that don't know that this freedom is available to them, that don't know that this grace and this mercy is something that actually exists, that it's mm-hmm. not just theoretical, that it's not a joke, you know,
sure.
it's not something that they can't access.
Right.
But it also points us to pay attention to and, like, carefully honor and clothe people that we don't like
mm.
and that we disagree with and
yep.
that, like, irritate us.
Mm-hmm.
And by paying attention to those people and by, like, pushing through and persevering through difference and division, we wind up kind of utilizing that tension that then makes us stronger. That's where we mm-hmm. find it. And to ignore that is, like, letting our muscles atrophy. It's letting us get weaker as opposed to stronger, which is not
yeah.
the idea.
Right. And I think this might go off too far from our topic at hand, but I think churches have a habit of elevating the pastor and worshiping mm-hmm. those in leadership mm-hmm. and those who are up front. And we're not, like, we're not free from that necessarily. We are two pastors on a podcast
mm-hmm.
trying to be heard, so we're not trying to be ignorant of the fact that we have part of that in us, but, like, the fault of the church is lifting up the pastor or lifting up those up front instead of, like, really digging into those who are new and those who are far from God mm-hmm. and those who really need to know his love
mm-hmm.
and to know community and to know healing.
Yeah.
Because they're only here once a month, or they're kids are always crying when they're here, and we put them to the back burner or don't pay as much attention to them.
Yeah, we can't do that.
We lose our strength. No,
yeah.
it weakens the whole body as a whole.
Yeah, and I mean, I think no church is free from that, because we tend to, like, seek leaders. We tend to seek leadership, and
mm-hmm.
we kind of gravitate
right.
towards that, and that becomes, like, an obvious thing to celebrate. But then you've got these people. You know what my favorite thing to call the communion team is?
What?
I have a nickname for them.
Oh, I want
to
hear it.
They are the ninjas. They are ninjas.
They are.
And when I say that, I'm not kidding. Have you ever noticed one of them replenishing communion between services?
No.
Nope.
Nope.
Because they are ninjas. Because they might as well be wearing
perfect.
All black
oh,
and
love
ski
it.
I mean, they are, like, just these faithful, incredible, like, detail-oriented, consistent leaders
mm-hmm.
who serve our community in this, like, incredibly important way
mm-hmm.
that we would only ever notice if it didn't happen.
Right.
And I think
right.
that's tragic, but I also think it's so beautiful.
Yes.
Because they do it on purpose that way.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't walk around, like, you know, shoving communion dishes in people's
right.
faces, because they understand what it means to look
mm-hmm.
like a servant leader.
Sure.
And so I don't have favorite teams, but it kind of sounds like maybe the communion
yeah,
team is one
there.
Of them.
Absolutely.
If you're on the communion team, man, thank you. Like,
mm-hmm.
you,
yes.
you're a ninja. You're a super.
Thank you, ninjas.
Yeah. yeah. I don't think that was too far off track either. I think that
oh,
was,
yeah. I think
that was good.
Good.
That was good.
it's reassuring. So I want to tease out something that, like the idea that you've been talking about, this idea that we are as a body
mm-hmm.
of Christ in church, there will be conflict. And
yep.
that is part of this game we're playing, this walk we are in together. And this conflict is inevitable. and should be celebrated and embraced. And there is a unity among us, a unity among believers, but not uniformity.
Mm-hmm.
And that unity in difference is part of what brings us together, mm-hmm. what reconciles us to Christ, and what brings us peace. Mm-hmm. And so there's this weird dynamic where there is conflict and peace hand in hand.
Yeah.
So can you share some thoughts on that if you have any?
Yeah, because it doesn't make sense, does it? No. Well, at least not at first glance. I mean, there's this word that I guess it's used in all kinds of places, but I learned it in talking about art history, where you have these two ideas or these two things or these two parts of a composition or something that like can only exist if the other one exists. Like there's just no way for one to be alone, that they have to exist together. And I think conflict and peace are that. This is the word I'm talking about is dialectic.
Okay.
And it means, you know, in this instance, that peace doesn't happen. There is no need for it. There is no peace. There's no enjoyment in peace or joy in peace without having experienced tension on your way there.
Sure.
And then vice versa, you can't have conflict if you're not fighting for peace. So they actually can't really be separated from one another. Mm. And so in context of the church, yes, our end game is peace, but we receive that in like this eternal gift that we get through Jesus. And what our job is like we are, our reality is this sinful, like tense, highly prone to conflict type of sin space.
Sure.
Sin soup, I call it sometimes. I call it sin soup, where like our sinfulness and our brokenness is just, it's this soup. It's this mess that we live in. It's not like every time we do something wrong that we've like added a sin to the soup. It's right. Like it's just the soup. We're right. Just like in it, and there's no way out of it necessarily. But peace happens when we're able to like transcend from that a little bit. It's like the water vapor that rises up out of the sin soup, you know, that smells really delicious metaphor. That yeah. smells great. Oh, you know. And okay. it whets our appetite. Mm-hmm. It makes us hungrier for whatever it is mm-hmm. that's heating this up and making it smell like it's going to be good. And not that Jesus makes sin smell good, but I think you're nodding your head.
I'm
it seems
you.
Like you're tracking. But anyway, so I think that like we strive for peace, but we have to navigate our way through tension because we're sinful people. And like mm-hmm. sin and conflict, we're born together. But peace is what we get when we understand the reason that we're navigating it.
Right.
Like we can feel peace when we look at someone we disagree with and be like, wow, what's cool is that I don't have to hate you.
Sure.
What's cool is that I get to love you mm-hmm. because you were made in God's image too. And I know that. I have the privilege of knowing that. Knowing the gospel is a privilege. Like
so,
we are yeah. privileged to know that that's the truth. And it, I don't know. That's where I yeah. think peace lives.
And peace is not destroying the conflict, but finding unity in it.
Yeah. Or figuring out how God is actually making something better mm-hmm. through mm-hmm. it, which doesn't always make sense in the middle of it. But
yeah.
Well, next week, we're going to talk about wonder. We're going to talk about
great.
Questions mm-hmm. and like how to approach people who are different than us in utter awe that God created them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, how, wow, like that changes everything. The
yes.
whole game changes when you approach differences with wonder. So I hope people come back for that, too, because I think it's going to be like a necessary follow up to what we talked about this week, actually.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else that hit the cutting room floor or anything else that you want to say before we sign off for this week?
I will emphasize the challenge that I gave everybody at the end
yeah, please
today,
do.
Which was to intentionally choose somebody or some people to share a meal with. A lot of what we talked about today was kind of, we talked about communion and what communion means and why we do that to like nourish the body, the big body, the big C, like the church body. Body of Christ.
The big C.
The big C.
Yeah, I like
the big
that.
Christ.
Yeah.
The big C. Yeah. but I challenged everybody to pick a person or a people that they think either are that they are far from or that are far from God or that just haven't shown up yet, and to share a meal together, and then to not make this about like winning a soul mm-hmm. or like shoving something down their throat, but to look them in the eye over nourishment, over a meal, and say, what are you hungry for in your life? And like, guaranteed, I promise that there is an opportunity to share hope in that. Mm-hmm. When you ask somebody, you know, what are you hungry for? We're hungry for all kinds of things that aren't food. And when you're able to talk about that with people that you don't think you have anything in common with, like, stuff happens. It becomes right. revelatory. You can see that God's working on more in that person than just their idea that you think is dumb or dangerous. Mm-hmm. And you can start to appreciate the depth of what's yeah. coming out of right. that person and how they are going to contribute to this project that we have to reconcile mm-hmm. creation to the creator. So
great.
What are you hungry for? Just have a meal and while you're eating, ask that question, and I guarantee it'll open something, and then do your job and share hope, because that's what we're here for.
Boom
done. Great. Mic drop.
You heard it here. Share a meal.
The gospel provides endless mic drops. It is one mic drop after another. Sure. It's abundant. It's pretty cool.
Well, there's no better way to end. I think just let's sign off here.
Just saying, boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
There's that. We'll see you next week, though.
See you next week.
All right. We love you, Harbor. Bye. Bye.
Thank you for joining the After Party. You can follow our sermon series online at harborofhope.org, and you can party with us again next week wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you're in the area, please visit us at Harbor of Hope Christian Church on Sundays at 9:30 or 11. Party on.